The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
You're listening to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. Anita Hiles works coast to coast with realty executives. She is an award-winning top producer that has been voted Bold City Best Realtor in 2015 and 2016. And she's opened her own real estate office in Jacksonville and Fernandina Beach, Florida. Anita is a retired law enforcement police officer from Southern California, where she serviced for 25 years. Anita has a son, James, who has been serving our great country in the U.S. Army for over 11 years. Now Anita has joined the WBOB team for all things real estate. This is Rapid Fire Real Estate. Here's Anita Hiles.
Okay. I'm not Anita, but Anita's here.
I am. Sorry. I guess I need my mic in front of me.
Yeah. Your microphone's not.
It's not in the right position here.
Hey.
But I'm here, and welcome, everybody, to Rapid Fire Real Estate. And we're kind of excited today. The weather is crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday was insane. I get scared still. I've been living
really?
Here for 10 years.
The thunderstorms
almost 10
bother
years,
you, huh?
And when that thunder, when it opens up, it's... Me and the dog, we'll go together and hide in the closet.
That's hilarious. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I really find the sound of a thunderstorm very soothing. And if I'm like tossing and turning and can't sleep and don't need to be up at 4 in the morning as I do most mornings, I will ask Alexa to play thunderstorm sounds. And it helps me sleep like a baby. I love it. That's just me. Maybe I'm different.
Yeah. Maybe I need... earthquake sounds. Maybe that would help me sleep from California versus the thunder.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. I was a little bit scared yesterday.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Yeah. But what's new in real estate since we last talked?
Well, what was great is last week I mentioned this great property I had for sale that was under market, fixer upper, for $189,900 on Port Wine, and that's right off of. Atlantic between Girvin and Kernan.
Okay.
So great location, huge house, and it went overnight. I had 12 offers on that property.
When that happens, what does a realtor do? Or
it's a lot of work.
Do you, when you get 12 offers, do you let them bid for the whoever comes with the highest and start to outbid each other and go up, or do you take the first one that comes in, or what? How does that
work?
Well,
what I wrote on the multiple listing is submit highest and best. So
okay.
So that way we don't have to go back and forth. So they get one time to put in their best offer. Now, the top three were, two were tied, and then one was... couple hundred off. So those ones I went back to see what they were willing to do. And we got a very nice offer, well over the asking price. It's going to a very nice family that's got a renovation loan. We talked a little bit about those last week. And so they're getting a renovation loan at 203K. And it's going to, today, in fact, they're out there as we speak. They're out there with some contractors getting some bids to submit to their lender for that renovation loan.
There's some very popular cable TV shows where people buy homes that are in distress. They need some work. And a lot of people actually find joy in taking a home that needs some repairs done and kind of tweaking it to their own specifications. Is that becoming more popular, Anita?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's getting a little tougher right now to find those deals, but they're still out there. Mm. You just got to look a little bit harder for them.
Now, how does the financing work for those? Because I would imagine you need two loans, one to actually buy the property, and then another loan that has a checking account attached to it that you can pay the contractors for the various work that's necessary, right?
Correct. So it's a little different because most people that are going to purchase those homes are going to be investors. So a lot of them have either cash or what we call a hard money loan, and which is cash. And so they have the funds to do the renovation and also to pay off and purchase the house. Betty Layton, my top producer, she flips a couple of properties a year. In fact, she has one that's going to be on the market. I'll bring it next week on our show but she's got a wonderful home that's going to be coming on the market, I believe this weekend or by next Wednesday. And she flipped that property, and she loves doing it. Her and her husband do it together, and it's a pretty cool project.
So many realtors, in addition to just selling to the public, they have like a hobby side job.
Sure.
I think it's a side hustle.
Yes. I think her husband's retired, so this is her way of... you know, when it's not...
Keeping him busy, right?
he does it when it's not hunting season.
Okay.
So this is his off hobby, I guess.
Okay.
Off-season hobby.
What about just a regular family that wants to live in a house? They see the potential in it. Can you walk them through that process of getting a fixer-upper?
Yes, it's very simple. It's absolutely very simple, just like it was over at Port Wine. Since there's equity in the property, there has to be equity in the property. So in Port Wine, that neighborhood goes for about anywhere from 250 to 270. So on this particular house, you know, listed at 189.9, as you can see, there's a lot of equity. So even if they were to put 30 grand into it, they're still going to have money in their pocket. So in that case, what we do is we have to get contractors out there to give bids, and those are submitted to the loan officer, and then the loan officer submits it to the underwriter, and they will pick who they feel is the best one to do the work.
So the underwriter slash mortgage company, they actually, you know, put their sign of approval on the specific contractors you use?
They have a lot of say in it,
okay.
They do have a lot of say in it. They want to make sure, you know, we have to submit in, you know, that their license and insurance and things of that nature. So they have to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not satisfied, then we need to move on to somebody else. And for them, it's more of making sure that they're legal and they have all the right paperwork.
Trust
and permitting.
Me, I know people who have friends
right, exactly.
who can lay a tile floor or they say they can do plumbing work. And come to find out, they were just think they can do it and they didn't do a great job. And next thing you know, tiles are popping up and that
exactly.
kind of thing. So you want to get people who are good, who know what they're doing, who are experts. And sometimes you get what you pay for and you don't get what you don't pay for.
That's so true. That's so true when it comes to renovation. And in this case, today out in Port Wine, they have the contractors out there and they'll be giving bids so they can submit them. They can review them and submit them. And most of it, like I said, it's just getting approval. They want to make sure that they're legitimate and have all the proper paperwork and permitting and licensing and things of that nature. And once it's approved, those funds go into an escrow account. And
will the mortgage company want you to go with the lowest bid?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
And why wouldn't someone want to go with the lowest bid?
Well, sometimes the lowest bid is the correct bid, you know, and sometimes it's not. You just have to review the three, you know, bids that you have in front of you.
Okay.
And it's like interviewing. You're going to interview and see which one is actually the best bang for your buck,
right.
And it might be the cheaper one, or
so
it might
go with
be
quality and as well as reputation, as well as maybe photographs of their work. It just looks more impressive, right?
Exactly. And
okay. And
in this case, today they did that portion of it, and then we'll wait for approval, and then the money goes into an escrow account, and so when it closes, then they can start the work, and it gets paid out of an escrow account. All the upgrades do. So it doesn't actually go into
the... Very often, I would imagine that some of these contractors, their work has to be code approved by a city inspector afterwards, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, all proper permitting is required, and everything that needs to be signed off on, it's very important. Everything is done legit.
Okay. Right now, how many properties out there do you think need to be sold right now that are available for people who may be wanting to get a fixer-upper?
Oh, gosh. There's still quite a few deals.
There are a lot of them out there.
There's still quite a few deals. And there's auctions and the court curb, if you will. It's all done online now, but the same type of concept. But I do have another deal. It's on Jester, 12631 Jester. It's a four-bedroom, two-bathroom, over 1,900 square feet. And it's only for $249,900, also off of the Gervin Kernan Atlantic Boulevard area. That's a great price in that area. Good schools, good area. The inside is fantastic. So we're looking at getting that house sold this week.
About how much will we need to put into the repairs, do you estimate?
on this one, this one's going to just take a little yard work, just a little bit of love, maybe new countertops, and that's about it.
Wow, not a whole lot. Okay.
No, it's a great deal.
All right. All right, wonderful. Well, you're listening to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles here on WBOB. If you've got a question, 222-TALKS, the number 222-8255.
Home buying or selling should be a fun, exciting time in your life. I'm Kyrie White with Realty Executives Oceanside, and I would love to be a part of your buying or selling process. I give all of my clients world-class service and a personalized experience to help you get into your next home. Give me a call at 904-894-5625. That's 904-894-5625, and I will show you the difference. Call me now and ask about a free pre-listing home inspection. That's Kyrie White, Realty Executives Oceanside, where the experts are.
Wally Conway here for Home Pro Inspections with important information if you're selling your home. According to the National Association of Realtors, sellers who have their home inspected at the time of listing sell in less time for more money and make fewer repairs. Ask your realtor about the Home Pro risk-free guarantee. If your Home Pro inspected listing is not sold in 6 months, Home Pro will refund 100% of your inspection fee. Call now, 268-8211, or visit us online at gohomepro.com.
Are you stressed about buying or selling your home? You don't need to be. I'm Betty Layton, and I'm an award-winning, top-producing real estate agent for Realty Executives Oceanside Jacks. I am immersed every day in all aspects of the buying or selling process, and I'll be there for you every step of the way. I know buying or selling your home is a big decision, and I will ensure it's the right decision. Give me a call at 904-838-8743. That's 904-838-8743. And if you respond to this ad, you will receive a free pre-listing inspection.
Hi, this is Alana Cohen with Caliber Home Loans, NMLS 1086794. Need help finding a home loan? Call Caliber Home Loans today. We offer a variety of home purchase and refinancing options to help ensure your home loan is truly affordable. We're conveniently located at 12724 Grand Bay Parkway, right off I-95. We have local representatives that are dedicated to providing superior service and personal expert guidance throughout your home financing process. Give me a call at 904-813-6709. That's 904-813-6709, Caliber Home Loans.
Caliber Home Loans is an equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Brad Oswald with Prime Lending. At Prime Lending, we are focused on fostering a new perspective on the home buying process by adopting a serve-first mentality. Our mission is to serve and provide financial empowerment to our local community. We pride ourselves in providing tailored, personalized service to our home buyers. At Prime Lending, our focus is your focus. Call today at 904-404-8029. That's 904-404-8029.
Brad Oswald, Mortgage Loan Originator, NMLS ID 940847. All loans subject to credit approval, 2018 Prime Lending, NMLS 13649, Equal Housing Lender. Prime Lending is a wholly owned subsidiary of Plains Capital Bank.
Welcome back to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles.
Where does our producer Brian find all these songs having to do with real estate?
I don't know. I never knew there were so many.
There's
actually
a house for sale.
Yeah, so, that and money.
Yeah.
He seems to always find them.
Yeah, but if you're looking for a home, Anita can guide you to the right one for you. Yes. And every home is not for everyone. So you may be a beach person. I think, Anita, you're a beach person, right?
Absolutely.
So
I love the beach.
So she can show you places at the beach. Some people like to have the homes with the big yard. Others,
yes, or the intercoastal.
They prefer a condo, yeah.
On a golf course. There's so many options here.
There's
in,
even a
in
specialty of horse properties.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love going out to Callahan, and people think I'm crazy here, but I even like going out to Palatka. It's like when I drive to Palatka, it's like, who would think that this is actually that I'm in Florida? It's just all ranches out there when you on the main highway. And I feel like I'm in Texas.
Mm.
I always used to call my dad, because he's a Texan. So it's like, I would call him, hey, Dad, I'm thinking of you. I'm here in Palatka. You should move over here.
Yeah. At least send for him for a visit and let him see Palatka.
Yeah.
He may be closer to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, today we're going to talk about surveys because surveys are so important to a property, and we want to know why. Why are surveys important? And we have Charles Hacker here, 30 years of experience in surveying, and he's with Associated Surveyors. And his phone number to his office is 904-771-6468. That's 771-6468. And welcome, Charles.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're so glad to have you. And tell us, what is a survey?
Well, there's a lot of different types of surveys, but the stuff we're talking about now with the real estate market, we're just going to be talking about mortgage loan, title,
correct,
purpose
residential
surveys. Yeah, residential surveys. And I did a little brochure back about 5 or 10 years ago and kind of try to explain survey in our locale. But surveying is really kind of an insurance policy, you know, on your boundary lines, okay? It's something that the surveyor goes out and he establishes the boundaries. And this survey, you know, has no statute of limitations. If he makes a mistake, which is it's possible to do that, you know, humans make mistakes, the surveyor will stand behind that survey. There's no statute of limitations. And these things can lay dormant for 10, 20, 30 years. You know, the error might not crop up until the neighbor's having his survey done, or either you're having your survey redone again, possibly by another company, or even the same company. We've actually gone out before and found mistakes that we have made, you know, on prior surveys. That's one of the things I don't like about my business is I have to send people out to be my eyes and ears in the field, but that's just the way it is. It's just the nature of the beast. And so...
Well, you know, Charles, what I tell people is in our business is we are not perfect. We strive for perfection, and but we do make mistakes.
Right,
we do. Absolutely do make mistakes, and the important thing is that we correct them, and then we move on
and stand behind our work. Yeah,
exactly.
In 30 years, I messed up some legal descriptions one time, and they got recorded, and I had to pay to have them re-recorded because I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Now, for average person, when they need a survey, I needed to have one, I guess it was, 15 years ago, somewhere around there. Oh, it wasn't that long, I guess. But anyway, a while back, when we had a fence erected, because the fencing contractor needed to know where my property line was.
A fence erected. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Did I use the right terminology?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. Great. Mm-hmm. And then... Turned out this guy, who we found the cheapest guy, and we were talking about this earlier in the program, we found the cheapest guy out there who could do fences. He's only been in business for like 3 weeks. We're probably his second fence altogether. Read the survey wrong because of an easement issue that he didn't understand.
Ouch.
And essentially gave about 2.5 to 3 feet of our property to our next door neighbor.
So how much did that cost you?
We kept it that way up until when the time we got our fence replaced. And then in the new fencing company, we learned our lesson. We went with someone reputable who had insurance.
Okay.
They were able to read the survey properly, and then we got our yard back, and our neighbor was completely okay with that.
Because I would think, Charles, that not all the time it goes that smoothly when there's
yeah,
a dispute.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to that, usually it's not a boundary line dispute. I mean, most of the areas are established, okay? So it's kind of rare to find a boundary problem. But, you know, what you're saying, a lot of times the fences are wrong, and the neighbors will get into a little battle with each other over the fence. We try to take a little bit extra care to show the fences. If they bend around a tree or if they bow a little bit, mm-hmm. we try to show that. And that way, you know, if something comes up with the neighbor, he can pull a survey out, and it's good detail on the fence. It takes a little longer to do that, but we like to do that. Because to me, personally, I think, you know, it's bad to be on bad terms with your neighbor. I mean, you know, you're going to be there 5 or 10 years.
Oh, of
you
course.
Know, and it is. You hate
it is. It's awful.
You hate for that to happen. And that does happen sometimes. And going back to the surveys themselves, I mean, especially in the real estate market, I mean, what I'm seeing out there now is a lot of people are closing on the old surveys, and they're having the buyer provide what they call a surveyor's affidavit. And basically what that is the seller, he'll sign a document at closing stating that there's been no changes to the property. Now, to be a land surveyor, you have to have a college degree, you have to pass a 2-day exam, you have to have all this work experience before you can even sit for the exam. And so this person signing this surveyor's affidavit, you know, of course, they're not surveyors, you know, it's the seller. And what happens is they close on the old survey. Now, I get phone calls quite regularly from the buyers at that time, and they're wanting a copy of the old survey. The survey they gave me was kind of fuzzy, and I'd like to get a new copy, or I'd like for you to come out, you know, and flag my corners. We're going to put a new fence in. Well, if they would have had the survey done at closing, all that would have been taken care of. So I think basically what I'm saying is, if you're buying real estate out there, you need to demand a current survey that's certified to you. Now, there is liability to third parties. That's getting a little bit legalistic. Mm-hmm. But generally, if that survey is not certified to you, it's going to be tough to recoup any damages, you know, that are done.
Let me give you an example. I'm the seller. I'm representing the seller. And a buyer comes along, purchases the house. They agree to an old survey. The house closes. Now he finds out that part of the driveway of the neighbor is encroaching. That cement driveway is encroaching onto their property by, I don't know, a small amount, but a decent amount. Who's responsible, or how do they get that resolved? Is it the buyer's responsibility since it wasn't certified?
You know, after closing, you know, after it's closed, it's all the buyers. You know, we've had that happen a couple of times, and it just depends on what the neighbors want. I mean, if the neighbor's really pushing it, it's over just a couple of inches or whatever. You know, they had their property surveyed, and it indicated the problem. So it would be definitely the current owner's responsibility, you know, once they close.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people know that, and it's important that they get a new survey, because exactly in that circumstance is once you close, what you're saying is all the paperwork that was provided to you is, it's good. It's everything is good. It's current. You're ready to close. You agree to all the paperwork. So you're agreeing that that acceptance of that survey is okay. And so if you find a problem on day one or day two or an hour after, you're regretting the fact that you did not get a new survey.
And like I said, I mean, those errors can be there for years and years until somebody comes along and either resurveys the subject property or either the neighbor's property.
Right. When I had my second fence put up, I remember the fencing guy came out with a metal detector, I believe it was. He gave me the impression that apparently it was standard to put some type of metallic markers under the ground to let him know, make it easier for him to find where my land started and his ended, the next door neighbor's ended. Is that something that is done, or how does that work?
Well, basically, that's what defines the boundary. The boundary is defined by iron. It's usually half inch, three quarter inch iron pipes.
Okay.
They're usually about 18 to 24 inches long, or a concrete monument. But that does define the actual boundary corners.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go a straight line from corner to corner, and that is your boundary.
Is that in everybody's property in the county, or is some people's, or who gets it and who doesn't?
That applies to everybody.
Okay.
Everybody's property, yeah. And see, another reason to get that property resurveyed, I've had so many people tell me, you know, we haven't had an earthquake lately, so everything's still the same. Well, the cable guy came along 3 months ago and buried a new cable for the DirecTV or whatever and knocked one of the corners out. I mean, that happens a lot.
Right. He couldn't find one of our corners.
Yeah,
I don't know why. But
got knocked out by the utility guy. And I mean, it's rare. But I mean, when you get out in the rural areas, I've heard stories of people moving corners. But it's rare in town.
Right.
It's rare in town.
But I would imagine that's a felony, right? That's like land theft, right?
I think it's like it's either a third degree felony or a misdemeanor. It is against the law to molest a property corner. Yes.
Okay. At least deliberately.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
That's serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means you can't vote. that's like some serious business right there.
I always learn so much when you come in here on Wednesdays, Anita, and you bring in experts like our friend Charles here. We're learning about land surveying, and
yes.
Obviously when you buy and sell a home, when you have a fence put up, and we're going to go into the break, but I'd like to know maybe even some other areas where it's important to have people have a survey done.
And I kind of want to know who's responsible for in case the measurements are wrong and things of that nature. So we're looking forward to asking you more questions when we come back on Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. Call with your questions, 904-222-8255. That is 904-222-8255. You're listening to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles on WBOB.
AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Prosecutors say a 29-year-old gun rights activist who's suspected of being a covert Russian agent was likely in contact with Kremlin operatives while living in the U.S. And prosecutors are also accusing Maria Butina of using sex and deception to forge influential connections, and that she was observed by the FBI dining privately with a Russian diplomat suspected of being an intelligence operative in the weeks before the envoy's departure from the U.S. last March. European Union officials will be in Washington on July 25th for a meeting with the Trump administration. Interesting timing, since the EU and Japan just signed a trade deal that affects more than 600 million people. The president announcing today as he opened his cabinet meeting at the White House that his Europe trip last week was a tremendous success. Back-to-back NBA champs, the Golden State Warriors signing coach Steve Kerr to a contract extension. And on Wall Street, the Dow up 75, NASDAQ up 1, S&P up 5. You're listening to SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County judicial candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Everybody loves this top hit. And now, for the first time, you can hear it live in person. Corinne Hawthorne will be here in Jacksonville live to perform her smash hit, Won't He Do It. It's the concert event of the summer. Corinne Hawthorne. Corinne Hawthorne, a finalist on NBC's The Voice. Now she's coming to Jacksonville. It's all happening Saturday night, July 28th. Tickets are only $15 each, so get yours now. They're on sale at the Salem Center, at Abyssinian Baptist Church, and online at jackscommunityevents.com. The concert event of the summer. Be there Saturday night, July 28th. It's Corinne Hawthorne, live in concert. So I trust them at
all times. I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're interested in buying a fine quality diamond, but might start with a smaller diamond and then over time grow that to a larger size diamond, at Underwoods we have a way to do that, and we've been doing it for more than 50 years. We call it Grow a Diamond, and here's how it works. When a customer buys an Underwood engagement ring, solitaire diamond pendant, or a pair of ear studs, we guarantee they get the price they paid for it on the purchase of any bigger diamond. Now, a lot of stores would say, big deal, we do that too, but here's the Underwood difference. We guarantee you get what you paid when you trade in your Underwood diamond, even if you're only trading up by $1. It's not that you have to trade up two for one like most jewelers ask. We've done this with thousands of customers through the years, so if you're interested in growing a diamond, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops at Ponte Vedra.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Realtor Anita Hiles. And I am glad to be here with Charlene with Associated Surveyors. And my question to you, Charles, is who is responsible if the measurements are incorrect, and how do we get it resolved?
Well, usually if there's been a mistake made, the surveyor would be responsible. State law now requires us to carry errors and omissions insurance.
Okay.
If we don't carry it, we have to have these letters on our survey about a half an inch high stating that we don't have it. So, if the surveyor made it, okay, but then there has to be some damage. You know, say a fence was put in the wrong place, now the fence needs to be moved. That's going to cost some additional money.
Mm-hmm.
A wall was put up, or maybe a home was built, and now part of that home is in an easement now because the boundary was in the wrong place.
Ouch.
I think to vacate an easement now, I believe it's a flat rate of either $1,000 or $5,000 now if the home is in an easement. So it's ultimately going to be the surveyor. That's why you really need to make sure you've got a legitimate professional company that's been around a while.
I think that's very important. So checking your license, making sure that you're licensed and insured and things of that nature,
yeah,
and how long you've been in the business, I would mm-hmm. think is extremely important in picking out a surveyor.
Yeah. Right. I would imagine most homes, you know, they're on, you know, you have a house and here's the lot. But a lot of people these days are getting these high-rise condos that are really popular downtown. They're the condos at the beaches. Is there a need for a survey if you live on the 15th floor of a condo, high-rise condo downtown, or is that something totally different?
Well, I think you own the airspace.
pretty much, yeah. Yes. I mean, there's condo documents that are created,
okay,
you know. And it shows the layouts of the buildings and the different levels, and you buy, like you say, just that airspace. So I've never done a survey for townhouses and things like that, but no condos.
Okay.
Those
curious.
Surveys are required.
I would imagine except the bottom floor, though, right? Or no?
No.
No, okay.
No, but townhomes, yes. Townhomes and
duplexes
and PUDs.
What's a PUD?
A PUD is it's a community, basically. Some communities, they're considered PUDs.
It stands for Planned Unit Development.
Yes.
Okay.
And you'll find certain places, these subdivisions that are special and different.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is they've gone to the county and they've created through the comprehensive plan, they've created this little bit of an unusual type subdivision, say.
Okay.
And that's what they call a PUD. Or,
what if someone, they've got a lot of land and, you know, it was great for the dog and the kids when they were growing up had a great play area, had their friends over, but they've grown up and they want to sell a portion of just the land. They want to keep the house, but there's enough room on their land to maybe sell just the portion of it.
To subdivide it.
Is that done often? I guess you would definitely have to have a survey when that's done, right?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. What they would want to do, and this comes up quite a bit,
is the
property has a certain zoning, okay? And that zoning is going to dictate, okay, how big that lot has to be and how much frontage that lot has to have, like on a private road or a public right-of-way. So the people buying, you know, just a piece of a property, they need to make sure that it is a viable, buildable lot.
Correct. And they're going to find out from the city.
Yeah.
When they subdivide it, they want to make sure they may need to get a variance, and they want to make sure what size of home can be built on there, because they will have restrictions. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, some areas might be that they have to be 1 acre lots
mm-hmm.
or a half acre lot.
And different rules will.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. A whole different ball game. I wanted to touch bases a little bit, and you kind of mentioned it, but I want to kind of get a little more information from you on this because I think it's important. What happens if a building is on an easement? And you mentioned a little bit about it.
Right.
But you mentioned a house. Let's say a house, we got that variance, and here we are building our dream home. And for some reason, it got built a little bit on an easement. What has to happen? Do they have to move the house?
No, basically, what happens, and it's not that unusual, is you find a lot of pools will get built into the back easement. That's fairly common. But normally what they'll do is the city will vacate a portion of that easement. In other words, if the house is over, say, a foot, they'll vacate 1 foot of the easement. And, of course, the landowner, the current owner, gets to pay for all that to have it vacated. And like I say, it's more common to find. And usually if the pool is in the easement, the concrete is one factor. But if the actual pool itself is within the easement.
I would imagine this only, correct me if I'm wrong, this only happens if there was an accident made, and then after the fact, this is how we're going to resolve it? Or do they ask for the easement to be vacated because they want to create a pool?
Well, basically what I was referring to is the pool was built and maybe they just didn't do their due diligence and weren't aware the easement was there, or they just got off in the construction.
Okay.
But usually now, you know, to get that pool permit, they're going to want to see the city now, and it generates a lot of work for us. You know, anytime you do anything to your property, you know, they're going to want to see a survey. The city will. And it's a good thing because, you know, it should show all the easements and things like that on there. And the city's not going to be aware of that until they could get that information off the record plat, but usually, they don't want to do that much work, so they just want to see that survey. So if you're coming in there and you're buying some property, another reason to get a survey if you're buying some property, especially if you're planning on, you know, adding on to the house or putting a pool in, you know, make sure you get a current survey and certified to you, because I've seen situations where the easements have been left off of surveys before. They made a mistake. They were in a hurry.
Now, the survey records, those are kept at the office of the surveyor, obviously. You give the owner, the homeowner, whoever paid for the survey, a copy of it. Does a copy of it get kept with the county property appraiser's office?
No. Some states and counties, like in Georgia, they do record a lot of the surveys, but it's very uncommon in Florida to have the actual survey recorded in the public records.
It's usually retained in the file. You know, at your title company, will normally retain a copy of it. So that's always helpful in case somebody loses it.
Right.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like it's official, and I guess it would be. And when you think of official, you think this should be stored somewhere with the county government.
Right.
But I guess it's not required. It's not. Unless you're listening in Georgia, then it is. Yeah. We have a lot of Georgia listeners.
That would be one heavy cloud.
Okay.
Surveys. But... You know, what's interesting coming from Southern California is I didn't even know what a survey was until I moved here. Why is some states don't require it, like in California?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a cousin.
At least in Southern California.
Yeah, I've got a cousin that lives in Louisville, Kentucky, and they built a new home about 10 or 15 years ago, and it was surveyed initially. But then after that, when the parcel was created, but I mean, I guess they must have put permanent markers sticking up. You know, the ones I was talking about earlier, those iron stakes are usually below the ground, but they must have put up some visible markers too, and then the builder worked off of that, and I guess there might have been a site plan and the financing company. There was no foundation survey. There was no final survey required by the county, you know, or the mortgage company after the construction was done. So it just different parts of the country, and I guess they just look at things differently. But, I mean, I'm in the business, and it generates work for us, but... I mean, if I was a lending company, you know, before I released the final amount, you know, for the mortgage, I would want to make sure the house was properly placed on the property, that it was not in an easement or that it was not over a building restriction line before I released the money.
Correct, because they're saying okay.
Basically.
And giving you the money.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they want to make sure that that's all good. So a survey identifies easements, building setbacks. What is a building setback?
Well, normally you'll find those on the record plat, but then again, some properties are described by meets and bounds. It's just a different way to describe the property. Usually, again, you go back to the zoning. The zoning is going to require how big the lot has to be, the square footage, how much of the lot can be covered, you know, with impervious material. And it'll also dictate the building restriction lines and things like that. Now, if there's an easement back there, say JEA ran a drainage pipe or a water line or a sewer line or something, those things should come up on a meets and bounds survey, legal description. They should come up in the title work. The title company should come up with that information, and they should provide that to the surveyor so he can put that on the survey. I've had a few situations where they came back at us and said, there's an easement back here. And it was a meets and bounds. It wasn't a recorded subdivision plat. And we're saying, like, well, you need to talk to your title company. You know, that was their job to uncover that and tell us about it. Because we, you know, I'm an expert in the field of measurement and going out and finding corners, but I am not an expert in researching the public records. That's the title company's job.
Very good. Very good. And you probably needed to know all that when you put up your fence.
It would have been nice. And we did.
Your setbacks.
We actually paid to have a survey done after the fact to try to go to the defensing company and say, hey, move it over a little bit. And the guy wouldn't answer our phone calls. Oh, gosh. a nightmare story. This is why it's important to sometimes not look for the cheapest deal, because you very often get what you pay for, and you also very often don't get what you don't pay for. And very often people that are worth their salt, you're going to have to pay them, you know?
And you have to check referrals. I mean, you have to really check them and then ask them if they have a list of the referrals that were given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you want to make sure that they're actually real and stuff, and check all of it.
Yes.
You've got to.
It really applies to surveying. It really does. Because, again, I have to send people out to be my eyes and ears, and I have to make sure they're competent and professional people.
Okay, Rapid Fire Real Estate is on with Anita Hiles. If you've got any question at all having to do with real estate, feel free to call 904-222-8255.
Hi, this is Alana Cohen with Caliber Home Loans, NMLS 1086794. Need help finding a home loan? Call Caliber Home Loans today. We offer a variety of home purchase and refinancing options to help ensure your home loan is truly affordable. We're conveniently located at 12724 Grand Bay Parkway, right off I-95. We have local representatives that are dedicated to providing superior service and personal expert guidance throughout your home financing process. Give me a call at 904-813-6709. That's 904-813-6709. Caliber Home Loans.
Caliber Home Loans is an equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Brad Oswald with Prime Lending. At Prime Lending, we are focused on fostering a new perspective on the home buying process by adopting a serve-first mentality. Our mission is to serve and provide financial empowerment to our local community. We pride ourselves in providing tailored, personalized service to our home buyers. At Prime Lending, our focus is your focus. Call today at 904-404-8029. That's 904-404-8029.
Brad Oswald, Mortgage Loan Originator, NMLS ID 940847. All loans subject to credit approval, 2018 Prime Lending, NMLS 13649, Equal Housing Lender. Prime Lending is a wholly owned subsidiary of Plains Capital Bank.
Are you stressed about buying or selling your home? You don't need to be. I'm Betty Layton, and I'm an award-winning, top-producing real estate agent for Realty Executives Oceanside Jacks. I am immersed every day in all aspects of the buying or selling process, and I'll be there for you every step of the way. I know buying or selling your home is a big decision, and I will ensure it's the right decision. Give me a call at 904-838-8743. That's 904-838-8743. And if you respond to this ad, you will receive a free pre-listing inspection.
Wally Conway here for Home Pro Inspections with important information if you're selling your home. According to the National Association of Realtors, sellers who have their home inspected at the time of listing sell in less time for more money and make fewer repairs. Ask your realtor about the Home Pro risk-free guarantee. If your Home Pro inspected listing is not sold in 6 months, Home Pro will refund 100% of your inspection fee. Call now, 268-8211, or visit us online.com.
Home buying or selling should be a fun, exciting time in your life. I'm Kyrie White with Realty Executives Oceanside, and I would love to be a part of your buying or selling process. I give all of my clients world-class service and a personalized experience to help you get into your next home. Give me a call at 904-894-5625. That's 904-894-5625, and I will show you the difference. Call me now and ask about a free pre-listing home inspection. That's Kyrie White, Realty Executives Oceanside, where the experts are.
That white gold. Yes, I love that song. You know, it was hilarious for those who do Facebook, CC Underwood was dancing to that song in a video showing a house. So I think we're going to do the competition, a realtor competition of, who can dance the best.
Okay.
You know, you see it all with all the cops doing it. They're doing the lip syncing thing. I can't lip sync, but I can move. I can move. So I'm gonna challenge
easy,
her. Not,
but singing maybe be a little challenging there.
We have fun in our business sometimes.
Work on it.
Got to work on our moves a little bit, but got to get a video done. Maybe Brian could help me put a video together.
Yeah, he says he can. Okay.
Awesome. Cool. Well, tell us. Let's summarize everything that you've told us. There's a lot of good information. I've learned a lot, because a lot of times I would say, if they have a survey, nothing's been changed, it's fine and dandy. Now I am totally on the other side. It's like, get a new survey, a lot of times I think, if the title company approves it and says it's good, then I believe they get it certified or recertified maybe. But I think I'm at the point now of telling my clients it's to your best interest.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're representing the buyer.
Yes.
You know, the seller doesn't care. He's gone. But the buyer is the
and
one.
And I'm a listing agent. That mm-hmm. it, you know, it's to the best interest of everybody because you don't want them to come back and you know, and leave a mess.
About 1980, my profession, things had gotten kind of bad. And they put together what they call the minimum technical standards for land surveying. And they did that because the public was not being protected. There was a lot of shoddy stuff going on. And so the professional surveyors got together and they came up with these rules, got it into the law. And on our surveys, we have to certify that this survey meets these minimum standards. And that's helped a lot of the quality. But what we're kind of seeing now, and I don't want to get real negative, but I realize technology's advanced and it makes it easier, but we have, you know, these companies coming from out of town, and what they're doing is they're using people here that may be subcontractors. I'm not sure exactly how it works to do the field work, and they're kind of paying them by the job, and that's not conducive to doing quality work. I mean, every morning I'm in the office, I see my crews before they leave, and in the afternoon, if I'm not there, we have two other surveyors. We're in constant dialogue with our crews, you know, how's it going, any problems today, things of that nature, in order to keep the quality of the field work up, because that's the key, is the actual field work.
Right.
I mean, you can draw the prettiest map in the world, but if your crew didn't go out there and really take extra time to locate things accurately and really find those corners, then the survey is really not that good. What I could do, we talked about professionalism. I've got a little small list here of the characteristics of a competent surveying business, if you would like for me to
Absolutely.
Read a few of those off. And then we can talk
That's
about them.
Great information.
It takes a motivated, competent people to operate any business correctly. I think we can all agree with that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, a survey company requires this to a higher degree due to the nature of the work. The field crew for a survey company is its eyes and ears. This is what is needed to obtain the information required to make an accurate survey. A surveyor has to trust his crew in doing an accurate job in the field. This is the key to having a successful land surveying company. Having a personal relationship also helps with your crews. Say somebody's going through a bad time or a divorce or whatever, you would know to kind of keep an eye on him a little bit better. Errors are not uncommon in surveying. We talked about that earlier. Mistakes do happen. We find errors on the record plats, in the deeds, in prior surveys. Even the drafters make mistakes when they're drawing the survey. With so many variables involved, errors cannot be avoided, but they can be minimized when you use highly trained and competent people. In order for a company to get these qualified people, you must offer them a decent wage for good work and provide benefits for the employee and his or her family. Must also be included in the mix. And what this really dovetails with is everybody wants to spend the least amount they can on anything they do.
Of course.
Okay. Now, I could go out here tomorrow, if I was a young man again, and it sounds a little bit negative, but say if the going rate for a residential survey now is 300, if I put my shingle out there at 275, I mean, I would probably have and marketed myself. I would probably have more work than I would know what to do with. See?
That's correct.
And it's kind of bad in a way, but I mean, it's human nature. And I think the surveyor is partly responsible because we have not educated the public enough over the things, you know, over some of the things we've touched on today. And then, I mean, it's just human nature for the real estate people that they want to get the cheapest deal, you know, and keep the closing costs down. Okay. But in order to do that good work, you know, we got to pay those people extra. And so that's really been our major hurt. And I used to rely on the board, like I turned a few companies in that weren't doing proper survey work. And it seems like even today that the board doesn't seem to want to pursue any type of disciplinary action. That's kind
well,
of what
I'm saying.
Well, they
need to because, you know, we rely on it. Our clients and customers rely on it. And for those who have purchased homes and have looked at these surveys, a lot of work goes into this. I mean, we're talking everything that is possibly, if it's cement to, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't wells and septic tanks also on the survey?
Normally, if the drain fields and the wells are visible, we'll show them. Now, if it's an underground septic tank or an underground drain field, we won't show those unless they specifically ask for them.
Okay, so fences, pools, septic tanks, what are some of the other things that people actually would have a practical need for a survey once they're in the home?
Well, basically what we show pretty
driveways, much, I guess.
Yeah, everything. Everything that's man-made. Okay. I mean, pavers, walks, I mean, any kind of antennas that might be in the yard for radio communication purposes, pools, you know, just anything man-made, pretty much fences.
I understand that, you know, the county has really cracked down on even like your backyard. Correct me if I'm wrong, Anita, you would know better than me, but even if you want to spruce up your backyard and do like an outdoor grill station, if you want to have it paved and maybe with a little sink
you
and
better
plumbing,
get a permit.
You have to get a permit to put a grill, a gas grill in your backyard. unless it's not on wheels or just stands up, it's not portable, you want to make it permanent. Interesting, huh?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
I think we have a call on the line, right?
We do have a call on the line. We have Margie. Margie,
yes.
How are you? And welcome to WBOB.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't get the number of the surveyor. I'm in the market for a survey and all in, you know, a couple of weeks. And all for a new fence, and so I need the phone number. So
absolutely. And I'm glad you called to remind me to repeat it, Margie. That's fantastic. It's 904-771-6468. That's 771-6468. That's Associated Surveyors. And today we have Charles
Hatcher.
Charles Hatcher.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll be giving him a call in a few days then.
That's fantastic, and thank you for listening, Margie.
Okay, I listen to this station all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah, we're going to put you to work, Charles.
We are going to put you to work. Yeah, so I encourage people to take a look at their surveys, and it's so important that you get the survey prior to closing.
I would imagine even an in-ground irrigation system would be important to have a survey, right?
Well, you know, we don't normally locate stuff that's underground. We have a little disclaimer on our survey.
Okay.
But now if somebody requested it, you know, we could make
it's usually man-made and visible.
Yes.
Would someone need a survey, though, if they're going to put an in-ground irrigation system in and they currently don't have one?
I would think so, because they need to know where those sidelines are, because you definitely don't want to get the lines on somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, in summary, real quickly, I think it's two things. Number one, basically, is if you're the buyer, you really need to get a current survey. And number two, you know, the real estate people out there, the title companies and the mortgage companies, I mean, you really need to look, you know, at the company if they've been in business for a long time, because, you know, some of these outfits come and go. And if I've heard some of them aren't carrying proper insurance, some of these subcontractors. And if somebody falls through a fence or gets bit by a snake or falls through a dock, I've heard of these things happening.
Unfortunately, it does. It would happen to me.
Somebody's gonna want to get sued.
We need legit people, get all the proper people, and buyers need to take a look at that survey prior to closing. That's so important, because if there is a discrepancy on there, we want it. We don't want to close until it's fixed.
I had an attorney one time that I used to use, and he would list every encroachment.
We need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yes.
He would list every encroachment.